Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I feel like this is therapy. Like we're sitting with a therapist. Like,
oh, good.
I'm proud of myself because I accomplished these things.
Oh, so it's a bad thing? I'm really working on trying to just know that it's not going to happen, and that's really hard for me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam. Here's Danielle.
Hi.
You know, doing this episode got me thinking, like, we need to... We've been talking about going away for years, but in all seriousness, you know, weeks, and we keep pushing it. We don't know what we're doing. But the more I was, you know, looking at what we're talking about here today, the more I'm like, we just got to go somewhere. We got to do something like now.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. I don't care where it is. Mm-hmm. You know, not that we've done anything extravagant at all for years, but, you know, it's back to the... You know, our last few vacations have been Brooklyn, you know, and now we're like, let's go to New Hope.
So, which, by the way, is an adorable town if you've never been.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's not Cancun.
Well, that's what you said to me, because I said, I was like, are we going to finally go away this? We have like 2 nights to go away, maybe 3.
Yeah.
Because we just don't have people to watch the kids and me is at school and everything, so...
Just like, fuck it, let them stay. It's not a big deal.
I know, you're like, can they really not stay by themselves? No. We can barely get them to school ourselves. Right. How are they going to wake up and go to school? There's no way. And I feel like even, like, my mom's probably going to stay here with them one night maybe. And I feel like even they'll be like, we don't really want to go to school tomorrow. She'll be like, okay. Because it's easier than, like, waking them up and getting them off to school. And you were like, Mexico?
Yeah.
And I was like, for 3 nights? Like, that sounds exhausting to me to go to Mexico for 3 nights.
That's a short flight. It's not that big a deal.
No, it's still away, like, far, and it's, you have to go through customs, and it's like...
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it's ironically enough, it's probably cheaper to go to Cancun than to New York. I don't know. Check those hotel rates. You'll see.
I saw good hotel rates.
For New York?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you know, for New York, they're good hotel rates.
But I'm also like, let's just fucking do New Hope. You know, like we can drive there and be there in 20 minutes and parking in New York and drive.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm leaning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So we could leave today, be home to get the kids on, not the bus, they don't take the bus. We can get the kids home. We can come home, get the kids to school. Go back, do it again the next morning.
That sounds great. I'll see you after breakfast. Go ahead. You do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like delirious at this point.
Well, the fact that we even have to get them, I'm not kidding, a 4-minute walk to school, and they make me drive them.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we're almost late to school every day.
Shouldn't they be getting up by themselves at this point at 12 and 15? They are really tough to get up. Mm-hmm. Mia was so easy. She was so good.
I know. And she got up 2 hours before they did. Literally right. 2 hours. She got up at 5 a.m. Well, that was really just, that was, I mean, they loved their school too, but she knew she had no choice. She had to get to, if she didn't get to the, you know, stop by a certain time, she wasn't going to school. So she had no choice.
Right. But they don't have to get up till 7. All right. So anyway, here we are. We're doing another check-in, which is important. Mm-hmm. Which everybody should be doing. I sound like you. You've rubbed off on me too much. Mm-hmm. We all need these check-ins, and we should be meeting every Sunday morning and having a discussion and working out things.
No, for real. We should be meeting every Sunday morning. It's very hard to keep consistent. Mm-hmm. It is. It's really, really hard, especially like if you don't have any plans to go anywhere or whatever, and you're like, I just kind of want to sit down and like watch a show or... catch up on things, and I don't know, but it shouldn't be so hard. But it is. It's hard.
Well, it's number one, you know, when you have time, and who the fuck has time for anything, mm-hmm. to actually unwind or whatever, it's like, okay, let's check in and talk about all the stuff.
Right.
All the stresses and all of the, you know, things that we need to do. And all, like.
But then it feels good to know you did it.
Yeah, it's good to know you talked about it, and now you got to do it.
No, but it solves things. I think it does.
No, it does. I agree with that. Yeah. No, it definitely does.
And this is different than that. We're not talking about, like, logistical stuff, you know, like what's coming up in the next week that we have to, mm-hmm. you know, figure out or whatever. This was more just like, I don't know, we've had a lot. It's been a whirlwind couple months. I mean, couple years, but couple months. Mm-hmm. And I think number one, people are probably like, okay, so you're still together. So what happened? And, you know, look, there's been a lot of good that has happened very, very recently, but it was exhausting, you know, to get there or to get here. And we still obviously have work to do, but it has been, I think, like going in the right direction.
Good. Thank God.
Doesn't it seem like I think
yes.
that? Okay. We'll talk a little bit about that. Okay. But I wanted to know more generally. Look, we talk probably more than most couples, right? And still, there's so much that I don't know is going through your mind, and that I want to know. I mean, we don't really get to talk all that much during the week, right? You're gone all day. The kids are home after school or after dinner or whatever. And it's just chaos. So, you know, as much as I know that there's good happening, I guess we don't know really what's going through our minds on a daily basis. And, you know, where is it all coming from? How are the changes occurring? Like, what stuck finally that, you know, all this stuff. So I just thought it'd be really good to do a check-in.
I hope everything that I was supposed to be talking about wasn't just at what?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. No, I want to know on a broader scale.
Yeah, okay. Cause
absolutely. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah, because, totally. Your first question that you asked me, if a realization that I had or a life lesson that has recently changed my perspective on, like, how we should be living or acting or feeling, all those things. Like, has anything happened recently that's kind of changed my life perspective? And yeah, I mean, you know, it's been going this way for a long time. Obviously, we've had children for 18 years plus now, right? So I think the more we're getting into this, like, we're parents of older kids at this point, and we've had kids for quite some time, and, you know, realizing that, fuck, everything that we do is for the kids, you know? And I know it's been that, you know, like I said, it's been 18 years, but now I feel like we're in the thick of it thing here where we're, like, preparing them for life after childhood, you know, like, mm-hmm. life after mommy and daddy, like, mm-hmm. this is it. Like, you know, obviously Jonah's still 12, but, you know, he's got quite a ways to go. But, you know, at 15 and 18 years old, and our daughter's in college, and she's prepping for life now, and we're a part of that. And, you know, and as much as it sucks, just like we said before, about we haven't been on vacations, we rarely go out to dinners, we rarely have time for ourselves,
a huge change for us from 5 years ago.
Yeah, look, I don't want to complain, because that's probably a lot of lives for a lot of people, mm-hmm. that have lived that way forever, mm-hmm. but, you know, like you said, you know, it wasn't that way for us, and seeing that change was, you know, I almost want to say, like, traumatic. You know, I get it. No trauma involved here. But, you know, you get that feeling of, holy shit, like, we don't do shit no more, you know, because mm-hmm. we are now in the thick of it for doing for our children, whether it's, you know, putting them where they need to be, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, whether it's all the reasons. Mm-hmm. And I've never realized as much as it is now how much we are, I'll quote, sacrificing for our children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, it it feels like that. Well, look, you always think, well, you know, what, kids are expensive always, right? I think they say, what does it cost? Like, you know, the average to raise a kid is what, like $100,000 a year or something?
Sure.
Obviously, that's all relative depending, you know, right. like what are you spending on and, you know, where are you sending them? What are you shopping? You know, where are you shopping? All that stuff. Everything is relative. But when they're younger, you know, there's the decisions are, I mean, you have a ton of decisions, but also there's a lot of stuff that just, you know, right? You know, they're going to need diapers. You know, they're going to need, you know, new clothes every 3 to 6 months when they're babies because they're constantly, you know, you're going to probably want to put them in like a Gymboree class and stuff like that. But once they get to a certain point, it's like the, you know, this the decisions and the spending becomes really, really, you know, if you're going to put your kid in college and they're not going to take out loans for everything or whatever, like life changes a lot, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, when they're little and you're deciding, should we choose Gymboree or Party Gym or whatever, you know, like mm-hmm. nothing is going to affect them either way, whichever you choose. It's which one has the best slides and swings, right?
Right. Unless you live in like New York City and you're applying to private preschool, which is like very competitive.
Right.
And you have to fill out applications and go on like interviews and stuff for your 2.5-year-old.
Yeah. But at the end of that, they're probably going to be the same as the kid who went to Gymboree, right?
Right.
Maybe they've learned a few more things, but they're 5 yeah, and, I guess so. You know.
Well, then they'll get into the best elementary school from that.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah. Totally makes sense. But no, but now it's, you know, choosing the college or like for us choosing the school we wanted our boys mm-hmm. to go to, you know, it's, these are life, you know, direction changing decisions that we're making.
Yeah. We picked up and moved.
Yeah.
We literally
started from scratch in a new area in a new, you know, new environment, which wonderful. You know, happy to do.
No, totally.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, on many episodes recently and in my Letting Your Freak Flag Fly episode, I seriously have gone through so much like emotional, I guess, awareness in a sense about life in a way, maybe because a lot of things, because of the podcast and because of all the people that I get to talk to and interact with and, you know, the books I get to read and all the stuff I have the privilege of doing. Also, though, I think maybe with that, it seeps into my personal life of, okay, wait a minute, I need to reflect on this, not as even like a societal or broader scale, but it makes me look at my own life differently, right? And I am someone who, you know, I always say I'm like, you know, some people are like cruise directors, you know, they're like always planning social events and whatever. I am like that with problem solving, right? Like I'm always researching for resources of how to solve something and how to get the best, you know, outcome and all of that. Like that's just my thing. Mm-hmm. And so I've realized in this stage of my life at 46 that I really think there are two kinds of people. I think that there are the types of people who are constantly trying to grow and evolve and, you know, and figure out how to have the most fulfilling, you know, productive, like, I guess, connection-based life that you can. And then there are people who I think are exactly the fucking same that they were 20, 25 years ago. And they have either no interest in growing and evolving or they just think it's too much work. And so they're just, it's, you know, they just pretend it's, they don't even need to. I don't know where that stems from because I'm like the opposite, almost to a fault, I'm realizing. But I think that at this point in my life, something that's changed me is that I think that I really only want to be around people who are like in the ring, in the arena, trying to evolve and change things and, you know, listen and have really in-depth conversations and like that it's not, okay, well, you know, I'm good. Like I've gotten to a point where I'm just going to just like be and live. And I think that I'm way more comfortable in the thick of it, in the like being around people who feel like they're in the thick of it with me. You know what I mean? Who feel mm-hmm. like they want to work it out and figure it out and change things. And I'm realizing that not everybody's like that. And it's taken me a while to realize that, you know, there are people who no matter what, you're not going to be able to get through to because they don't want to be gotten through to. So anyway, that has been like a realization for me that not that I want to, you know, not be friends with people or, you know, have relationships with people who aren't like doers and growers and evolvers and everything like that. But I think that I want to really concentrate on and spend my time with the people who are. And that has sort of been like a big realization for me.
Okay. What? Nothing. I was surprised you said it. I want to know what you meant by it. And I'm not coming at you with anything, but you said it was almost to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's in another answer. Do you want me to just answer it now?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We ever really?
I have to find it.
No, no, because I'm curious because I love that about you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. It's a little bit to a fault too, mm-hmm. and asking too much of people sometimes.
No, I thought a fault for myself.
that is for yourself, right? Because your expectations or what you think are right for you, I think you push sometimes maybe a little bit, just a teensy weensy bit.
That's not what I was saying. That's not what I was saying. No.
Can I give you an example?
It's not just pushing people. It's just knowing that that's who I want to be around. And if people don't want to do that, then they're probably not going to see me as much.
No. Understood. And you've been saying that forever, especially since we started this podcast, where like you've been getting older and realizing who you are, you know who you want to be around and who are the right people for you, right? So it's the same kind of thing that you've always been saying.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess this is just to like another level of that, like another stack upon that with.
Well, I think that I've always wanted to be around people who are vulnerable and real, right? But I also think that there are people who are vulnerable and real about your situations and everything. Like, I think that there are people who are much more comfortable being around you and being close to you when things aren't good for you.
Okay,
when
things
aren't,
they want to be there to help. They want to not to help, but to be there to know that things are not going well. Now I'm here, kind of.
Well, I think they're just more comfortable with that because when you I'm not talking about, you know, celebrations as in like birthdays and graduations and retirements and stuff, because you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you have an accomplishment or you do something that you've taken a risk, right? That you've done something that's out of the box or that, you know, is really taking a risk. Then I think that and look, when it fails, I think there are people who are going to be there to like be very supportive and stuff. But are those same people going to be there when you accomplish it and it actually goes well? And what I'm finding is no, mm-hmm. you know, that there are people who because they aren't taking risks and they aren't doing out of the box thinking and they aren't trying to kind of shake shit up and everything, that they aren't willing to give you the credit where credit's due. And so for me, I think that I'm noticing that like, yes, it's great to be there for someone when things are hard, right? I in some ways think it's easier to be there for someone when it's hard than to truly, honestly, like be there for someone's successes. And that's what I'm realizing from certain relationships. And you know, not that anything, you know, so incredible has happened in our lives or whatever, but look, we have made some really good choices recently. Look, we've made some fucked up choices in our, I mean, we are the first to say it, But we have worked really, really hard, and we've taken a lot of risks for our kids, for us, you know, for, you know, like for the greater good and people to know that they're not alone or whatever. And I think that there are people out there who will never be able to embrace that because they can't they're still in their small little bubbles and, you know, they can't get out of it to say, great job. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it completely makes sense. And no, I was just thinking the whole time you were saying about, you know, taking risks and, you know, this podcast was probably the biggest risk that we ever took. Mm-hmm. Coming out here on a mic and it's just you and I, but, you know, other people on the end of it, we don't know who the fuck they are, mm-hmm. or how many of them there are, mm-hmm. or like what's going on. And just talking about all the shit, the good, the bad, the real ugly, the, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And most people in our lives were very supportive. And then there were some who weren't, because I think that they just couldn't, you know, it just is too far out of their realm of what's, you know, okay. And, you know, what's it okay to say? What's it not okay to say? And all that stuff. And I'm sort of like, you know, I'm just more comfortable being in a situation where people are like taking the risks also. And so they can understand, they know how big it is when you achieve something and, you know, that it's monumental in a sense.
Right.
So
okay,
that's what I was saying. No, not that I think that I pressure other people to be too
well,
open.
Well, no, I had a small example of what I thought you were kind of talking about.
Oh, okay.
Where you're always on me and on this podcast, like, you know, I call it, you know, a little thing. It's not like a big deal. It might be to you, but like when you're always on top of me about, you don't have female influence. You don't watch female oriented, you know, shows or listen to the podcast or like whatever. And like, first of all, that's not true. Is it male dominated? Yeah. Is it because of it's more of the topic I'm interested in? Probably. Like, but there's plenty of women out there that like I'm interested in and I listen to, and I listen to the podcast and I watch their stand up or I watch their movie. Like, mm-hmm. but you berate, like you berate. Is that the word?
Maybe.
Is mm-hmm. that a word? I think. Sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Sounds drastic, but okay.
Yep, fine, yeah. That's where I'm coming from. It's very uh-huh. drastic.
Okay.
But like, and like pushing and pushing. Like, and it's, I don't want to change that. I'm comfortable with the position I'm in where I have women who I love to watch and listen to and all of those things. And then there's the men that I listen to and watch. And so like, I'm not looking to make that change. And that's a constant thing for you to talk to me about or talk about.
Oh, I think our relationship would not be nearly as problematic if you did more of that.
But why? It would be like, there's probably some women out there that I don't listen to yet that I probably would like if I found out about it and would start to, but like, I don't know.
Because I think that men aren't going to give you the same information that, you know, because they don't have the same information that women will. I mean, I just did this interview with Liz Lenz last week that was mind-blowing to me. You know, she left her husband after 11 years and, you know, different circumstances and everything. But her book is like very much she intertwines her own experience with a larger societal thing that's happening with marriage and everything. And it is eye-opening to hear it and to hear what she has to say and to, you know, I think when I said to her, you know, a lot of men say at the end of a relationship, I just didn't know. And she's sort of like, oh, really? You just didn't know? Really? Your wife hasn't been begging you for 10 years to like go to therapy? Oh, really? You know, you haven't like, your wife hasn't been like, you know, trying to get your attention in a thousand different, like all the things that she said. And I was sort of like, oh yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they totally know. Like stuff like that. Like it's a perspective that is eye-opening and that a man just won't be able to give.
No, I understand. And it's not like I don't.
No, you don't listen to stuff like that. No way.
No, no, no. I'm not saying that like that, but I don't listen to male stuff like that either.
Right.
So this is not a men versus women conversation. This is when I have at, you know, time at all for, I call it entertainment, whether it's a podcast or a movie or a stand-up comedian or whatever, it's That's what. So I'm like,
But that's the problem.
I'm not looking for information.
You're looking at it as,
as
entertainment. This is not entertainment.
No, no, no. I understand.
This is communication and connection and understanding and relationship building.
That's what I thought we're doing with this podcast.
Well,
that's what we have each other for. I listen to you. You're my favorite woman. All right, we have to take a break. Okay. Right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So how do you think, with all the things you just said, that's going to impact you moving forward, what your future is going to look like, you know, what you think moving forward, how it's going to affect your experiences?
Everything I said about like there being two types of people.
Well, you're having realizations now. Mm-hmm. So how do you think that's going to affect you later? You know, do you think it's going to continue to grow? Do you think you have different point of views in the future?
I don't know. My therapist is like always working with me on that. I get stuck in feeling like I'm always trying to change people who don't really want to be changed, right? Who, you know, because I guess I want to be close with them in a certain way and, you know, they're kind of in my life to stay or whatever. And so she's always sort of trying to like be like, that's not, you know, what if it never happens? How do you? And I guess that the best way for me to handle it is that I need to focus my time and my energy on the people who, you know, who do lift me up instead of worrying about the ones that like I can't change. And that's really, really hard and I'm working on it. But, you know, it's sort of like when you get, you know, a bad comment, right? Like on Instagram, if I get like a negative comment and a sea of wonderful comments. And, you know, the first one that I go to is the bad comment, right? Always. And, you know, why am I not focusing on all the good comments? And, you know, and I do, but also, you know, that there's like, I'll say even to, you know, our kids sometimes if they're not invited to something or something happens or whatever. And I'm like, but you do have people in your life who want to be with you and everything. Like, don't spend your time, you know, thinking about the ones that don't want you around and focus on the ones that do. And I need to take that advice too, right? Like there are people who I'm just constantly like hoping so desperately are going to finally like, be like, okay, I get it. You know, I realize why this is important. I realize why I need to step up and take accountability or, you know, say something different or do something different. And I am really working on trying to just know that it's not going to happen. And that's really hard for me. So mm-hmm. I guess moving forward, you know, rather than focusing on that, I'm really going to try to focus on just the people who really, you know, want to do things the same way I do and be in it with me.
Yeah. I mean, you've said it plenty of times on here already. You know, you've lost friendships along the way. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's people who we were very close to who,
yeah.
not so much anymore.
But I've also gained wonderful relationships.
Right. Yeah. I was just curious what you, you know, maybe mm-hmm. in the future that you thought yeah. it would lead to.
So what did you say was your...
Well, I looked at it more of like...
Because you said about parenting, right?
Yeah, you know, about, you know, the financial expenditures of the kids and like the emotional... Mm-hmm. That's never going to go away, right? Like the emotional... there's always going to be something that we're always talking to them and they're telling us about their problems and their issues and we want to be there for them and all those mm-hmm. kinds of things, right? So hopefully that's going to be there forever. So I kind of look at that as like... You know, at a different angle, maybe later we're not going to be responsible for teaching them how to grow and mature and become an adult and all that. They're going to be there mm-hmm. and we'll just be helping them along the way, hopefully with advice, you know.
Right.
But I keep thinking to myself, it's like, okay, only like just a short, quick little 10 more years of this. Mm-hmm. and then we're on our own.
I don't think so. I don't think it ever ends.
But that's what I keep telling myself. Like 10 yeah. more years, yeah. you know,
yeah.
we'll be 56 and we'll be, but then it's like, holy, like I'm trying to picture 56 and like the kids are gone.
Yeah.
Like what the fuck do we do?
Really? Is that, I'm surprised you think like that.
But
I mean, would think you'd be so like ready for empty nest.
I am, but I'm not, but I'm so like, I'm trying to picture us at 22 in 23, like, you know, but we were young. We were immature.
Oh my God. We were completely different people. I don't want to be those people again.
Me either. But what I'm saying is it was just the two of us mm-hmm. living in a house. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be that again, but we're going to be 56, not 26 or 24, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, it's just very strange to me. Like, I don't know how to approach this, what it's going to be or how mm-hmm. to, how I'm going to feel or what we're, but I'm very much looking forward to the.
You'll be able to go on a vacation, maybe.
Right. Like, oh, you want to DoorDash, whatever it is in 10 years, mm-hmm. you know, why are you calling me? You don't live here anymore. You mm-hmm. know, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, there are schools, you know, all like done, mm-hmm. you know, now they're on. You're looking at me like that's
never
going to happen.
No, that's never going to happen. I mean, you know, hope. Look, that's the hope.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
So far, it's not looking good.
I know. No. Yeah. They're going to do just fine.
Yeah, they're going to do just fine, but they're still going to, you know, need shit. Especially right. in, you know, especially what it takes to rent an apartment or, you know, lease a car or whatever these days. My God.
Well, tell them I'll be there for them for advice.
Okay.
And it stops there.
Yeah. They don't want our fucking unsolicited advice. Anytime my mom calls me with advice, I'm like, nope.
No, we just say, listen, if they call with a problem, you say, okay, go listen to episode number 265. And there you go. Mm-mm. There's your advice.
Is there something that you recently watched, listened to, saw that impacted you? How and why was this impactful? And I hope that people will are writing these questions down or whatever and will... I don't know. I think they're really good to ask. I think it's a really good conversation.
All right. This one is out of the blue. It's not something I watched. It has nothing to do with
Rocky 2, 3, or 4.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with any of that. It just kind of like flicked into my head for a second there. And it, you know, I was trying to think about, and I don't want to like bring the topic down at all.
Oh no.
But no. So I'm in my store the other day and this random guy walks in off the street. Like, you picture yourself on, like, 42nd Street in, like, 1992 mm-hmm. in New York, you know. He just walks in and, you know, you could pick him out like you could if you're walking down the street. You know, like, you knew there was going to be an issue, right? So he walks in and he starts talking. I understood every eighth word he was saying. I didn't know what he was talking about. But what I gathered from it is he's either from the future or... the past or something. Like, I didn't.
Yeah, this is your moment.
No, because right. it wasn't.
It was sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not. But he was getting like angry-ish. And I'm like, okay, how do I approach this? Like, you know, if in a normal situation, like I could be very, sarcastic or very intuitive or very, like I can hold my own in that kind of situation. But this was a different situation when you're talking to somebody who's obviously very mentally ill. Mm. Right. And like he pulls out this metal thing out of his pocket, like he invented it and it's going to change the world. And he was there when Jesus wrote the Bible or something. Like he mm-hmm. he was like on and on and on. Like he wouldn't stop and he wouldn't leave. And I can see the customers were getting a little like, weird, like mm-hmm. uncomfortable, you know, the whole thing. And I didn't know how to get it to stop and how to make him leave or, you know, and I didn't know where it was going. So I just did my best to talk it to an end that I could see, you know, foresee happening, you know, to try. And it was like 20 minutes. Like,
oh, wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and I started thinking to myself after, like, finally, you know, I talked him into, you know, like he was getting very agitated and very, you know, about things we're going to see that we don't know about yet and very, you know, how government this and, you know, all like conspiracy, like all crazy shit. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, you're in a balloon store. We're here and it's a party store. We're having fun. You know, like you're looking for something to have a good time. You know, like I'm trying to like work it up, whatever. Anyway, long time, you know, long time, he leaves. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you and I, or, you know, people that we know or whatever, we're all seeking help for our problems and our issues and our everyday situations, and we're getting the help that we need. And, you know, we all need our mental health days and situations and all that kind of shit. And I'm like, there's nobody here for, like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, how does he get, like, we have such an opportunity to say, you know, look, our problems are real. I get it. And everybody's problems are real. And we go seek assistance. We get therapy, or we go to a doctor, you know, whatever it is. And it's, you know, and we take care of it. But, like, what do you do with, like, what do you do in the situation? Like, who do you call? Like, he doesn't, obviously, this one individual doesn't have that, doesn't have someone. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be on the streets. You know what I mean? He's going to freak out a lot of people. And
or get hurt.
Or hurt himself or hurt others, you know? And I just, it just got me thinking, like, we're so involved with our own, like,
oh yeah, the mental my problems illness.
And my, you know, yeah. whatever.
It's all
and
some, so
don't
broken.
Get me wrong, they're real. I get it. Like, we all need, you know, problem solving. Like, it happens. But to that level, like, where does, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, oh my God. Yeah. Well, there, that's the whole thing is, you know, I always think to myself how it's just unreal how expensive it is to get therapy and mental health assistance.
But not only, like, not only the money, like, even if it was about money, I don't know anything. I've never seen this guy in my life. I don't know anything about him, where he comes from, where he, you know, but who's there to say, hey, there's places or there, you know what I mean? Like, he's just walking the street. You know what I mean? Just, so with, you know, I don't think that's what, this one is a money situation. It's like, sorry, you can't afford this. Go back to real life. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be places. But I don't know. It just got me thinking about how we're so on top of our own mental health and issues and easily able to take care of them and fix them. And there's this guy, you know?
Yeah. And but, you know, and unfortunately, there are people who don't, who could get assistance and don't, you know?
Yeah.
And that's frustrating too. And, you know, and, yeah, it's so much of our stuff could be solved if we had, like, better mental health, you know, like, help and support and everything like
that. Right. Like, it got me thinking, like, I know we talk about it all the time and it is important, but it got me thinking this term that everybody using now of mental health is so insignificant compared to what I was seeing there. You know what I mean?
It was broad, was what you're saying. It's, you know, a broad term.
Yeah, like, we're, you know, if somebody's having a bad day, it's, oh, go take a mental health day or go, you know what I mean? And I'm like, that ain't shit compared to what this guy needs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, like, we're all worried about, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's funny that you say that because, and this is definitely a tangent, but I think it's important. I did recently talk to, like, a school psychologist, and she was so interesting what she was saying because, you know, she was saying how, on the one hand, there's this rise of mental health awareness and everything. On the other hand, there's this idea, like, where now, you know, certain generations, younger generations especially, don't really know how to delineate between, like, what's a normal response to something and what's a mental health issue. Like, for instance, you know, if you get dumped by your girlfriend or boyfriend, it's, I'm depressed, I'm, you know, I'm, like, whatever, depressed, completely anxious. I'm, you know, I have too much anxiety. I can't go to school. I can't this, I can't that. And she's sort of like, no, it makes sense to be upset when someone breaks up with you. Like, that's a natural reaction to be upset. So, you know, that's not depression. Depression is, you know, not being able to get out of bed for X amount of, you know, days and not being able to focus on anything else and whatever. She's like, so there's this sort of, you know, we're sort of throwing around these terms, you know, anxiety, depression, all this stuff that, like, we need to also be able to say to our kids, like, okay, this is a normal, you failed that test or you didn't get into that college or whatever. You're feeling normal reactions, you know, and we're as parents, we're not really, a lot of people aren't doing that. We're giving into the, you know, oh my God, she has so much anxiety. Oh my God, she's so depressed. And
right.
Rather than, you know, it's a normal reaction.
It all started with the, everybody was OCD, right? Didn't it start with that?
Like, well, I guess that's one of the things, or ADHD or whatever, that
but
you,
yeah, everybody,
you use it as an adjective. When
yeah,
it's
but everybody
not.
Who likes something clean is like, I'm so OCD about this. I'm so
yeah,
OCD.
I guess that
you know,
was the original. Yeah.
Seems like it, as well, far as yeah. back as I can think.
I know, and people get very upset about that, and I obviously have very real diagnosed debilitating OCD, and people are always like, does that piss you off? And I'm sort of like, not really, but, you know, I do wish that they would learn, like, what actual OCD is.
Yeah, you should just say, look, I don't have OCD about it. You know, it's not a big deal.
Okay. Yeah, if... Oh.
What?
I didn't know what to... I asked the question, and I didn't even really know what to answer, because I can't answer the real answer, because we're not really there yet. Maybe one day we'll talk about it. I don't know. But if you could sit down with anyone at all... What? I'm going to tell you the question.
No, you just said something that I was confused by.
What?
You can't answer the way what you wanted to answer?
When you hear the question, you'll understand it.
Okay.
If you could sit down with anyone at all right now and ask or tell them one thing, what would it be and why?
I could think of so many for you.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't think of one specifically?
Sure.
Okay, well, we're not talking about it. So I had trouble answering it because I couldn't do the real answer.
Okay. So you didn't?
I did, but it was like a stupid nothing, so I'm not even going to say it.
Okay.
Did you want to answer or no?
Sure. I mean, honestly, like, it would just be my future me, my future self.
Aww.
Oh, that's okay.
It's
that's
cute.
Cute.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was stupid.
It's cute, stupid. What would you ask?
There was nothing specific, not a specific question that I would ask, but not. I just feel like for the last forever, whatever it's been, with all the stress, with all like the mistakes, with all, you know, everything that seems so impossible right now, I want to know what the fuck happens. Like, is it worth it? Is this stress worth it? Mm. Is me feeling like nothing is going to get accomplished worth it? Like, I know things will, but there's so much. Like, it's just, I want to know, should I stop the stress? You know what I mean? Like, will it be okay? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're not going to stop the stress either way.
I guess not. But I just want to know if, like, I probably lost 4 years of my life just due to stress over the last three. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I want to know, is this the right direction? Am I doing the right things? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what I want to know.
And what if the answer is no?
I don't fucking know.
Right. So what's the point? Because if the answer is no, you don't want to know that. You only want to know if it's good.
Well, in my head, it's always positive.
Oh, okay.
So
uh-huh. Okay.
It's always going to be like, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, man. You're doing good.
It'll all be worth it in the end.
Yeah.
Give you one future you to give you a pep talk.
You're going
to
kill it in the end.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I don't, there's a reason we don't know. There's a book out now. I think it's a few years old, actually. My sister keeps telling me to read it, called The Measure, where like people find out when they're going to die or something, like in the future or whatever. And it's supposed to be very interesting.
It sounds familiar.
It's pretty new. Not that new, but pretty new. But anyway, it's interesting. You might like it. We should probably read it.
Mm. Oh. Sure. You can read it to me.
I think a guy wrote it.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not even sure. I don't even know if it's a guy or a girl. Something you're really proud of yourself for recently.
Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah, I just answered. So people want to hear from you too.
Okay. I'm really proud of the workshops that we did and are doing, Leah and I. And I ran one by myself and I ran one with her. And, you know, it's not easy. It's really not easy, the Beyond Permission workshops. We're doing something that's like new and different and, you know, trying to get women together virtually. I'd like for it to be in person one day. But, you know, it's not an easy thing to get people together to open up and talk about things and, you know, ask the vulnerable questions and everything like that. And first of all, I'm so proud of the women who have come. And it's been a phenomenal experience. We just, you know, need to get more people to... The first day that we did it, 100% of the cameras were off.
Mm-hmm.
The last day, 100% of the cameras were on. Mm. Because people were so... And people were sharing. And it was wonderful. But, you know, people are hesitant. And so I'm really, really proud of what we put together and how it, you know, the feedback that we've gotten and everything. And I'm, you know, I'm, I think it's, I think it's a really important thing. So, it was a huge risk. It was a huge, you know, we don't know how to do that. And, you know, we did it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm proud of you too.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, wait, let's take another break.
Okay.
It's time. Yeah, okay. We're back.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I feel like this is therapy. Like we're sitting with a therapist. Like,
oh, good.
I am proud of myself because I accomplished these things.
Oh, so it's you know? A bad thing?
No, no, no. It's just funny to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because... mm-hmm. No, I think... And look, it hasn't been a long time. I think for the first time, I'm trying to tackle everything at once. Where in the past, it's always I put 100% into work and then little bits of, you know, everything else around. Or I'll go the other way. Or it's every, you know, and I can't spread out evenly and properly the things that I've been trying to work on. And I think now for the first time, I'm really trying to, since you and I have been going through our shit and, you know, and it's only been, you know, a few weeks or whatever it is, but I've been really trying to tackle everything all at the same time and give everything, all of my energy that I have, you know, with us, with work, with the podcast, with the kids, with, you know, the house, with, you know, everything. And I'm trying to spread myself out evenly where I don't think I've ever really done that before. Mm. Mm-hmm. That's my answer.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't want to say I'm proud of myself yet. But I think I'm on the right track of figuring out how to do it all at the same time without overwhelming myself. Because that was always my biggest thing is I would be completely overwhelmed in one or two or three aspects and focusing on another.
Mm. You're also just like a nicer person. Do you notice that?
No.
You really don't?
No.
You don't
notice
that?
I don't notice that I'm not, but you know what I mean? Like
no, I mean, even from... I don't know. You just seem to be more pleasant to be around.
Maybe that's why, because I'm not overwhelming myself with too many things and I'm bringing the pressure down a little bit and I'm just kind of focusing my energy and figuring it all out together.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Even sitting here, like your tone of voice, everything. I don't know. Maybe listeners will agree. Maybe not. But it just, you just, I don't know. Your tone is different and your delivery is different and your...
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm proud of it and I appreciate it.
Let's leave it at that. Let's stop right there.
Okay.
Love it.
The next one I think we can.
Which is what?
Something you want to do differently moving forward. No, I feel like.
It was the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did I skip one?
You skipped a few.
Oh, I did. Oh, something that you would want to hear from me right now. I wanted to do that one and I skipped it.
Something that I want to hear from you?
You didn't say that?
Yeah. No, because there was two. I want to make sure I got this. All right, something that I want to hear you say.
Yeah, like something you need to hear from me right now.
That you're in a better place.
Aw. That's so nice.
That's it. And I've seen it.
Yeah.
Like I'm noted, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I was crying all the time and it was really, really terrible. It was really terrible. I am in a better place.
I know, I can tell.
Yeah.
But it's nice to hear it.
Yeah.
You know?
I am. I am in a better place. I want us to be checking in so much more, you know, and being on top of like both of our needs and everything. But I was at a point where, I mean, I didn't want to get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really bad. And, I feel a lot more hopeful now and a lot more like it can happen, you know, like it can be better. It can change. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I feel like it is already, so.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Good.
We're definitely moving in that direction. Something I'd like to hear from you right now. That you don't wish you'd married a woman who was more of a trad wife. Have you heard of trad wives?
No.
No, I hadn't either until this week.
Is that like a Gen Z word? Is that like a new?
Well, I think it's like a millennial Gen Z thing. It's like a new, I mean, I guess not new, but it's becoming almost like a trend, but more of a trend because it's a lifestyle and it's like a big deal. I had to look it up. But
tell me.
Well, I was watching something on TikTok and it was this woman. You ever watch those TikToks, like especially with parenting and stuff, where like, it's all like, you know, let me show you how I make a bento box. And then like all of a sudden you're like, okay, where's this going? And it stops and it's a woman like, you know, packing her kid with like, you know, goldfish. And like, she's like, okay, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
Like, this is what I'm doing. So I was watching this video expecting that to happen with this woman who's like, I have my husband's drink ready for him. He's ready to come home.
Yes, that my answer is yes.
Okay, so wait, and literally, and she looks like she's out of one of those advertisements from the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And you really think it's a spoof. Like, you're like, oh my God, this is okay. And I'm like waiting and waiting for her to then be like, yeah, just kidding. And like rip it off. And she's in like a thong and a, you know, bra or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and she's fully invested in this. And then I'm like, okay, what is happening here? Cause I saw a few of those. And then I looked at the hashtag and it was trad wife. And was one of the hashtags, which is a blend of traditional housewife. So trad wife is a traditional housewife, a blend of those two words. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing. It's like a real thing.
Really?
Yes. Mm. And it's becoming more and more. And so I did some research on it. And, you know, I wanted to see, like, is this a real? It is a real fucking thing. And so it's traditional and wives. They just don't live online. These are real women who seem to have traveled through time, having revisited the 50s and brought some elements of that era into the present day, including an insistence on not just old-fashioned homemaking skills, but on submission to their husbands, never working outside the home, and avoidance of feminism. They're a subculture of housewives, and they're really proud to be homemakers. It's a big rising movement where women are literally openly admitting to wanting to regress back to the patriarchal idea of the woman as existing to serve her man and her children. Search TikTok and Instagram.
It's all over my feed now.
Well, I did worry a little bit watching it. I was sort of like, I hope this isn't on his For You page, which I'm sure it is, because I was like, I kind of think he would.
I think it sounds amazing. Good mm-hmm. for them. I'm in. I'm for it. Mm-hmm. I will donate. And I'm a fan.
You will donate? What are you donating?
I don't know, but I think it's a great cause. I'm into it.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, there's part of me that's like, I think he's sick of my bullshit. Sick of my, like, I think that we... But it was just so funny because here...
Wait, can we get one?
Rent a trad wife?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell. Okay. But it was just so interesting because in the same week, I learned about that and I had the Liz Lenz interview where it's very much about, you know, how it needs to be, you know, laws for divorcing husbands needs to be liberalized. And there's all this proof that, you know, women are more successful and happier and everything when you liberalize divorce laws, and that husbands treat their wives better in marriage when you liberalize divorce laws because they don't feel like their wives are trapped and mm-hmm. you know that they can. So it was just a crazy dichotomy, right? And that's happening all over the place. There's this body positivity movement, but there's also now all these like new filters and stuff on Instagram and all these ways to make yourself, you know, looked at, like there's as we're going forward with so many things, there are so many things also setting us back at the same time. But definitely go and Google trad wife because that was new to me.
I will. I will do that.
Yeah. So I just needed to hear that you were
not going to do that.
That's not secretly your wish. That
well,
you don't
now
secretly
it is.
Wish.
Jeez.
Okay. What else is there?
I don't know.
Like what's worth. Oh, I wanted to do, Well, I'll pick three small achievable goals that you have that you want to accomplish in the next few months.
Okay. All right. That's easy. All right. Number one for me is I got to start eating healthier and working out more consistently. I'm eating terribly. So I need to change that.
Okay.
Now, I'm eating Chinese food like 4 days a week for lunch. Mm. I'm eating like pizza. Like, I'm like, that's.
Sounds awesome.
But it's terrible. Okay. I don't feel good.
Okay.
So, no, you know, eating better and working out more consistently, definitely number one.
Okay.
I want to have more fun and see my friends more. I keep saying this over and over and over again. I actually have to make it happen.
Uh-huh.
So that's another goal for me. And
I love that for you.
I know you do.
Yeah.
No, no, I'm not being held back because of you in any way for that. Mm-hmm. I know.
No, I'm usually the one who makes your play
right,
dates.
Right, exactly.
I'm usually like, can Johnny come over and play today with Adam?
That's true. And then another one is just for you and I to be able to just enjoy, like mm-hmm. not like even just, we don't have to like, look, there's always going to be shit. There's always going to be stuff that we're going to have to try to figure out or work on or, you know, mm-hmm. not just us, but you know, with the kids, with life, with your parents, with, you know, everything, you mm-hmm. know, but I just want to, you know, just take a weekend or a few days and just fucking be,
mm-hmm.
you know, you and I just like have some fun or whatever, like this trip that we're talking about, you know, but even if it's to fucking New Hope, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
just to, you know, enjoy ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
What about you?
Well, I want to finish my parenting questions book that, you know, I've been trying to finish for so long, but things always get in the way. I'm hoping to finish that really soon. I want Mia's breast reduction all set. Like, that is something that...
Well, we have the appointment.
I know. But, yeah, but that's something that really hangs over me. And I, like, you know, I feel like her whole life will change. Yeah, and the third one was that, yeah, I want us to, you know, start consistently, like, every single week checking in. You know, not just on the podcast, but, like, you know, we're married in real life, too. Nice. So, you know, I want to, like, really make sure that we get on some kind of a you know, as like a real schedule where we're really, like, making sure shit gets done and
yeah, but
planning.
Not even, like, I want to interject here because I think it's important, like, even if you and I didn't meet Sunday morning over coffee and discuss it, like, even when I was at work, you sent me an email laying out things of stuff that you want to get done, things we need to do, things whatever, and I responded to you line by line.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know, it's not the same exact thing, but it's getting shit done.
Right, except we need to work out, like, you're like, that sounds great. I'm like, okay, fucking when? Could you give me a date and a time?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, that's another step, too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, that should be part of it also.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all. I just wanted to
right. No.
Clarify that it doesn't
I
have
hear
to
you.
Be.
No, no, the emails are good. That is help. Well, you used to just totally ignore me. I would email you or send you texts during the day and you would pretend like they didn't happen, which is what our kids do to me and it drives me crazy until I ask them, like, do you have enough money in your account? And then they're like, no, I don't. And I'm like, well, I asked you 18 fucking questions before that.
Right.
Well,
I just think maybe somebody might be, who's listening might say, oh, if I talk to my partner and I say, we're meeting Sunday morning, we're having coffee, and we're for an hour, we're going to talk, and, like, it's not going to happen. Like, they know they're mm-hmm. not going to be into it. Then, so, like, you know, send the email. Like, don't text over and over and over. Like, that's annoying. And if you send the email, 1 through 10, you know, just get back to me today at some point. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think yeah. That's a good step.
The face-to-face is really important, but I also think you can make it fun, you know? I also
yeah.
sit down with a fucking mimosa or, like, watch, you know, say, like, when we're done, we're going to, you know, watch something or go do, I don't know.
I'm just not saying don't do it face-to-face. I'm just yeah. saying at least that's a good way to either initiate
yeah.
it or accompany mm-hmm. a face-to-face or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Use one word or phrase to describe the following at the current time. Did you do this?
I did most of them.
Oh.
I couldn't think of them.
Really?
Yeah.
And nothing, like, it doesn't be life-changing. Just whatever pops into your mind, like password.
Go ahead.
Uh-oh. Parenting.
Little kids, little problems. Big kids, big problems.
Okay. Love.
Needed right now.
Aw.
Yeah.
Intimacy.
Wait, you're not doing yours?
You're going to do yours after. You'll ask me.
Oh, okay.
No?
You know what's amazing about intimacy, besides it feeling really good?
Well, intimacy is a broad term.
All right. I was thinking sex. Mm-hmm. You know what's amazing about sex, obviously, other than it just feeling good? Whatever's going on, it goes away.
Mm-hmm. You've said this like 60 times.
I know. I have to keep...
Well, there is a part of your brain that shuts down, especially during an orgasm.
Well, I guess it's the dopamine rush.
Well, it's literally a part of your brain that shuts down, that cannot process certain things going on other than that. Like, it shuts down. Like,
we
like an off
should
switch.
Be having sex all the time.
I mean, we usually
kind we of, kind of are.
Just not, yeah.
But it's, no, it's amazing that happens.
I know. I say that to my therapist. I'm like, it's literally the only time where I feel like I'm not thinking about 1,000 other things. The only time.
So that happens to you too?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Well, and I also feel, I've always say this, I feel so connected to you in a way that I don't in other aspects of life, although it's getting better.
Good.
Yeah, it is. You are bridging the gap between the bedroom and the kitchen.
You're working on me?
Success.
Working on it.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of mine too. Fun.
What's that?
Mental health.
Getting there.
Okay. Stress.
Working on it.
Beauty.
Not feeling it.
Damn, is that to me?
No, you said about, isn't that for ourselves?
No, just for whatever, just in general. No. Yeah.
No.
A beautiful moment.
I didn't know.
Oh.
What is that?
I'm sorry. I haven't given you any beautiful moments.
What's a beautiful moment?
Like it's like something that's like, okay, I should bring the card down here, but for Valentine's Day, you know, we didn't.
Oh, that was a beautiful moment for you.
Well, I'm just saying that for me. Yeah. But you don't know.
I didn't get a card.
That's true. You did not get a card.
I did not have a beautiful moment.
But you gave me a card that was the sweetest thing I've ever read in my entire life. I should bring it down here and read it.
You have to throw it out.
I don't want to throw it out.
You should.
I'm going to frame that shit.
No, you're not.
I'm framing that shit. No way. I am keeping that forever. It was like the most wonderful, like, sweet thing you've ever written to me. And I cried.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. That was a beautiful moment.
I enjoyed that cry.
Yeah.
After all the crying you've been doing. That was the one I liked.
Right. Pleasure.
Nope.
Excuse me?
Well, I already did the intimacy thing.
You have no pleasure whatsoever, ever?
I don't know. Like what?
Really?
I don't have joy. I don't have pleasure. I don't have fun.
Oh, shit.
That's what I'm working on.
Okay. No, we got to work on it together because that's not okay. No,
look, all
no
the
joy?
All the stuff that you and I do together, yes, checks all the boxes, right? But I'm just like internally, like I'm trying to pivot my life at this point right now.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you want to answer those?
Did you want to ask me? You don't have to.
I would love to.
I didn't say anything so life-changing.
Yeah, go for it. Parenting.
Overrated. No. No, right now, pretty good. Like right now, I say like medium rare. Like it's medium like, rare. It's not.
But medium rare is best.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like a medium-ish. Like right now. I don't feel like my therapist always. My therapist.
God. Just fucking bring her on.
If I could give her a name, like she'd. But she always says to me, you know, because I start out every session like I'm so overwhelmed. I feel like you know, blah, blah, and she goes through and like everything in my life. She's like, okay, 1 to 10. You know, Adam, Ian, Jonah, Mia, blah blah blah. Like all the things, like where's your stress level, right? And then she's sort of like, okay, those numbers are not crisis mode. You are not in crisis mode. So stop fucking acting like it.
Damn, I like her.
Mm-hmm. I know you do.
Can I say that to you?
No.
Oh.
but it's true. You know, I'm always in fucking crisis mode. But like right mm-hmm. now, parenting wise, I don't even want to say it. I don't mm-hmm. even want to say it. I don't even want to say it. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Love?
The reason for everything.
Oh, boy.
It's
okay.
True. It's the fucking truth.
What was that from? Oh, I can't think of it. It was like one of those movies that I watched.
Love Actually?
No, like, you know, like maybe it was some kind of like alien movie or whatever. It's like, and what's the meaning of life? Or, you know, like love. It was like love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love transit. Is that? It was Interstellar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Interstellar.
Okay, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the fucking truth.
Intimacy.
A hotel room.
Huh?
I want to go to a hotel room.
Okay, let's go. Wait, we're not going tonight, right?
No.
All right. Success. You said working on it?
Well, figuring out what it means to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mental health?
No, you skipped fun.
Oh, you have fun?
No, I need some of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not feeling like I'm having a lot of fun right now. Yeah. I want more.
Me too.
I know. I said to somebody, one of my friends recently, I was like, I'm kind of worried I'm not fun anymore.
Should we? Like you said the other night, we should go play find pool. A pool hall.
Yeah, I know.
That would be fun.
Yeah, it was really great to talk about.
Do they have those in New Hope?
I just need the energy to do it. Yeah, they probably
well,
do.
We have so many ideas.
We do. We have so many ideas.
And then we're like, do you really want to go out?
You don't know how many things I have saved on Instagram of like events coming up and like bars you should go to and blah, blah, blah. Like my list is, I got lots of fucking like the resources and the research is there. I just got to get the fuck off the couch.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Where are we?
Mental health. Inconsistent, but under control.
Stress. Same.
I think we're on an upswing.
I mean, it's not just about me.
No, I think we're on an upswing. I think we're gonna figure it out.
Okay. Hope so.
Your future you is gonna come forward and tell us how not to be stressed.
Beauty.
Being back where I grew up.
What?
It feels beautiful to be back where I grew up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
moving
like,
back here. Got
yeah.
It.
It's like
that's nice.
It is nice.
Okay. What's your beautiful? Oh, you're my card.
Yeah.
Do you have pleasure and joy?
I have pleasure as a hotel room. Not that I don't have pleasure in our bedroom, but there's nothing like a fucking hotel room. It's just so different. Last night, like Ian's on like FaceTime with a friend in the hallway, and I'm like, I how much can I?
Right.
Come on. Is that even appropriate to say? Like he was in the hallway? I don't know.
No, he was in his room.
He was in his room, but we must have some thin fucking walls.
Smaller,
man.
So we're not used to how close we can hear everything.
I guess so. Joy, knowing my boys are in school together and getting to see each other all day. Like
That's a good one.
I drive into school every single day, and I just like stop, and I'm like, you know, just... I try to really take it in and appreciate it because it really is such a gift and it's a wonderful place. And
well, it wasn't a gift.
Listen, it is not everybody gets to do it. It's a privilege and a gift. And I say that to my kids every day that they need to stop at some point during the day and look around. And that also they are going to fucking pay it forward one day.
I think they do.
They do pay it forward.
No, they appreciate.
Oh, they do appreciate it. All three of them, I think. Mia too, where she is, but also that this is not just like us so that you can, you know, be a success and get into a great college. Like, no, you're gonna fucking pay this shit forward one day.
Yeah. No, Mia said to me, she spent one day walking around campus looking around like, holy fuck, I can't believe I'm here.
Oh,
she didn't say that to you
recently?
Yeah, within the last month.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she just walks around. She's like, look at the fucking
trees. I mean, I feel like that about her too. I can't fucking believe she's...
Yeah.
And you know, and we've had some bumps in the road, but she's, you know, freshman year's tough, but she has, god, I mean, she has impressed me for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to tell everybody or should we wait for next episode to talk about the fact that we have been sleeping in the same bed?
Let's, I want to gather my thoughts on that.
Oh, shit.
And we'll get to that next time.
Oh, fuck. No. You're sleeping in another room tonight?
No, I have been for like...
Two nights.
I think it's like phases. Like I think I go through phases, you know, like for the first month, everything was great. And then I'll get up four times a night and then I'm like, I have to go to the other room, you know? So like, I'm not done. Like, I love it.
Yeah, I thought you do.
I do. I love it. I really do. Mm-hmm. And if I have to, I move.
Right.
You know, that's
and
all.
It's not that far. It's not like we have an east wing. You just front. Literally go across the hall and it's the only
hall?
Other room
you
available.
You mean I take four steps to the next room?
Right. Exactly. So.
Yeah. We can get into that though.
Next time. I think we should.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting and listen, and I'm the first to say I understand people who are in separate rooms. So hey, there's a benefit to that too. There are a few nights when I'm like, I kind of wish you'd go in the other room.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Get it.
Please rate and review. Also, there are some Beyond Permission workshops coming up. They have been fantastic so far. It's such a $20. It's $20 and it's a wonderful night. It's really fun and you get to, you know, learn and be with other women, and it's just a really cool hour and a half experience. You know, hopefully we'll do a 3-day weekend one again, but we are not now. And I'm trying to find the dates of the ones coming up because Leah, which I'm 100% attending because I want to be there for this. She is doing she's doing two coming up. She's doing a sex toy one where she's going to teach all about different kinds of sex toys and, you know, her favorites and recommendations and stuff like that. And that should be super fun. And that is Tuesday, March 5th from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then she's doing a libido and desire one. And the majority of people, when I asked, said that they would like to ask an intimacy coach about libido and desire. And Leah's amazing at that. 8 to 9:30 p.m. March 12th, Tuesday, March 12th. And then you and I know you don't know about this, are going to do, but you're going to know about this because I've been planning it, like a date night ask a couple on March 7th from 8 to 9:30. And I think that's going to be super fun. We're just going to like have drinks and hang out and talk about shit and play some games. And it's going to be super fun.
Done. I'm in. Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Okay.
So anyway, so sign up for that.
Do you have to know anything?
Well, you will know stuff because I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
But I mean, you don't have to know that much. I mean, we like the whole more, it's much more fun when we're like, don't plan or prep anything. But anyway, it's a fun date night. We'll be drinking our martinis and it'll be a great time.
Fine. Great.
And we need fun.
Love it.
So we're doing that. March 7th, but definitely register soon because that's going to fill up really fast. So we keep them really, really small so that everyone can have enough time to participate if they want to. And yeah, so head to beyondpermission.com and get registered for those and rate and review if you can.
Done?
Done.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a great week. Love you. Bye.